I think I'm on, right?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay. Reg, you want me to make that announcement or
Yeah,
about? I'll do
absolutely.
that first and I'll get into the message. Because of many different situations that have come up, especially recently, the leadership here at the church have decided that we're going to open up the church building for worship next Sunday. The big reason for that is because next Sunday is Pentecost, and we wanted to open on that day because of the fact that number one, we've been submissive to government regulations up through this point, and there's been reasons for that. We've seen that some things are now changing, and we feel that we want to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. This feast is a feast of fellowship and coming together to break bread together. It's called the Feast of Weeks, and it celebrates the wheat harvest, which is dealing with the church. The harvest is great for the saving of souls, and so we want to start that are getting back together again. So we're going to continue with the Zoom, even though we're going to have the services here because there are people that might have some compromised health conditions, or if you're not quite certain you want to get back into the mix of being around people, that's your choices, and we want to be able to accommodate that. So we will continue with the Zoom. So I'm just excited about that. We also are going to, because of the breaking of bread and the fellowship, we're also going to have communion next week. So the communion for the people that are here at the church, we'll have the bread laid out so that they're separated from one another, not in a big pile that people grab out of, and will come up front and take the bread singularly, and same thing with the cups, and then we'll just throw the small cups away, or maybe, I don't know, get them washed if that's all right. We want to try to follow guidelines. Now, I'm just going to read here what the CDC guidelines are under.
Malcolm. Just so you know, you got to stay back because when you come forward towards the mic, we lose you.
Okay. All
Sorry.
right. I'm going to read the CDC guidelines. And remember, this is guidelines. These are guidelines. They're not mandates. Under the guidelines, places of worship must consider limiting the use and sharing of prayer books and hymnals and all that kind of stuff, which cannot easily be cleansed from one person to the next. Members are encouraged to observe social distancing and wearing a face mask at church, although it's not required. If you want to, you can. If you don't want to, that's all right as well. The CDC stated that these guidelines are not binding public health guidance, and they're only for consideration only. They're not a regulation. So whatever is good for all of us is what we want to be thinking about. Religious places must still consider implementing these suggestions based on feasible, practical, and acceptable for their community. So it really, again, which is really good, it comes down to a personal conscience and what you feel we're being led to do. The guidelines were released by President Trump, and he has said that places of worship are essential, and that he is hoping that they will be opened that churches will be opened on Memorial Day weekend. And certainly that's this weekend, but we're going to be starting next weekend. And that he just promoting for the churches to open up. In America, we need more prayer, not less, is what President Trump said. So that was that. Yay. I hope you're all yaying there in the background. I know we all miss each other, and I'm really looking forward. I know that probably everybody's looking forward for the possibility of getting back together again. So praise the Lord. Okay. I think that's that. All right. So the message this week is something, again, that I hope that we understand that there is a great need in this world for people that are so connected with God that they have something to give to people that are in a dark place and people that are lost and people that are fearful or depressed or whatever it might be. And this is going to continue to grow in the world. We're heading toward the coming of Christ. And this is Reggie was saying, you know, this is a battle we're in and it's not going to go away. And the enemy comes stronger and stronger as the day approaches. And so, but the people who know their God are going to display strength and take action. That's what the scripture says. Those who know their God will display strength and they'll take action. And this is going to be because we're so connected with God. And this is what the message today, the title of it is Seeking His Face. Seeking the face of God. Seeking His Face. And I want to talk about this because, you know, the scripture that we use on our website is pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I hope we realize there's something much more that we can experience in God than what we have already. And we can become very self-satisfied with the fact that we're saved, that we're going to heaven, and we're living a fairly comfortable life. By the standards of this world, we're very comfortable. And yet there's something more that we really can and should experience in Christ. I hope that all of you that are listening feel that way, that you want more in knowing God, and it requires seeking Him. And I want to talk about this whole concept of seeking His face. So, If you're looking in your Bibles, I wrote these all out on paper, but it's 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 to 49, and this is the story of David and Goliath. David is self-described as a man after God's own heart, and this is what it's really about, having a real hunger for God, a heart for God. And David certainly was that kind of person. He had all kinds of faults, just like all of us. But at the core of his being, he cultivated a deeper and deeper and deeper desire to know God in much deeper ways. So this is what it says in 1 Samuel 17, verses 45 to 49. Then David said to Goliath, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." And by the way, the Lord of hosts means the God of angel armies, one of the songs that we sang. So yeah, the hosts is the host of heaven, which is the angel armies of heaven is what it's actually referring to. the God of the army, and it says it here next, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. So I, as a side note, just to point this out, you notice that if you read before where I've, the story, that David didn't just come before Goliath saying that he comes in the name of the Lord. He didn't come with not any physical weapons. He came with his sling, didn't he? So why he says, I don't come with sword and spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He still had a weapon. You see that. And it isn't that we walk into battle without weapons of warfare. And it's important that we understand that. So it goes on here and it says, this day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will kill you and take off your head and give the carcasses of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly of soldiers shall know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And David put his hand into his shepherd's bag and took a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, and Goliath fell upon his face to the earth. Now, I don't know exactly how this happened, but if you're coming up against a 9.5 foot tall man who's a brute, a beast, vicious, I don't think you're just going to assume that God is going to do something for you. David had a relationship so good that he knew, he heard from God. God told him, you're going to kill Goliath, you're going to take off his head, and your armies are going to rout the armies of the Philistines. He heard that. He understood that. It wasn't just some casual thing that God just said to him. He had built over time such a relationship with God. He sought the face of God, to understand God, to know God, to such a degree that when he heard, he knew that it was God that was, he recognized his voice. He recognized that presence, that when he was praying to God, God moved on him to do this. And he recognized that it was God. He had that kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of relationship I want to continue to cultivate myself. I'm far from being a David. I'm sure you guys know that. But this seeking his face doesn't happen just in moments of time. This is something that takes lots of times on our knees and days and weeks and months and years to get to really know God the way we need to. And I just really felt that the Lord, in the time that we're in here, really wants us to see that the level of what's going to be required of us we need to get to a different level of not just praying for God to do this for us or do that for us or to help us with this, which is all really needed, but that our prayer life, our seeking of God is to seek his face. This is what, let me just read the, I don't know if I even wrote it down. Seeking his face is a Hebrew idiom that means to come into his very presence, to know him, to understand his character, to hear him speak, to an intimacy and embracing, a sitting at his feet. So all of this is involved in seeking his face. Many, if you think about it, lots of our prayers, when we're seeking God, we're looking for answers from him. And those are all good, and we should be doing that. But there, God's also looking for that other step where we just want to be in his presence. Mm-hmm. We're just looking to really know him, embrace him. And hey, I don't know about you, but I need more of that. I really do. And I need it not just for myself. I need it so that I can break out of the restraints that my own character and mind have put me in, so I can be what God wants me to be to other people. And I see my lack. I see where I need much more of God. It isn't something I got to work on. It's something where I need to be seeking his face. That's the only way it's going to happen, because it has to be his life in me. It's not me trying to conform my life. It's him working in me that's going to do that. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And this learning is not an academic learning. It's not mechanical. And I'm afraid that lots of, us reading our Bible or putting our hands up and worshiping, we can get into the mechanics of it. And it's real easy because of our humanness to end up just clicking in with the right terminology, with the raising of hands, and to not have our heart there. We praise him with our lips, but our heart is far from him. I'm looking for a big change for me, and I'm afraid in some respects, because that's going to be probably excruciating for me in this regard. But I got to break out of this, and I know that all of us do. It's something that we really have to do. Psalm 24, verses 3-6. Now, notice how who it is that really gets to know God. Psalm 24, verses 3-6, and it says this: who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who's going to come close to him, is what that's saying. Or who shall stand in his holy place? And then he answers, he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face. You get that? People that seek his face, not just seek him for their own personal wants and needs, but the person that wants to just be in his presence. How about that? So I'm going to go to talking about. I wrote it this way so it might be easy to remember. The four W's of seeking his face. To seek his face, to want to come into his presence. Well, one of the ways that that happens is that we worship him, right? So worshiping him. John 4:23-24 says this: but the hour comes, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The spirit part of that is an attitude. It's a zeal. It's out of love and thankfulness. It's not out of fear, but it's out of desire. You're getting this? I don't know about you, but I don't always feel like that. And that's something that through getting to know God in a deeper way, it's going to be more and more and more a part of how I approach God. Right. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. Secondly, the Word of God. John 8:31-32 says this. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. The disciples, people that sit at the feet of the Lord, that want to know him more, that hang around him, that don't just do their 5 minutes and then, okay, I've done my Bible reading for today and now I'm going to go do something else. But there's a longing. And whether you need to get to something else, there's still that reaching out to God through the things that we do through the day. This continuing in the Word, the Lord's really been pressing on me about persevering through things. I've had all kinds of thoughts, discouraging thoughts lately, coming to me. I keep hearing God saying back to me, persevere, Malcolm, get through this, hold on, read the word, know I'm with you, and so on and so forth. And that perseverance, having that, not a mechanical thing, but, wow, it's something that we need. I'm going to read a quote from John Piper. And this is kind of dealing with both worship and word. He kind of puts it together here. In talking about truth and spirit, he says this, truth without emotion produces dead orthodoxy. Orthodoxy is accepted doctrine, accepted teaching, but it produces dead orthodoxy. Truth without emotion. Truth without a desire, a zeal, a wonderment, to have more of what the Lord has to speak. And a church that says truth without emotion produces dead orthodoxy and produces a church full of artificial admirers. Yeah. On the other hand, emotion without truth, and there's lots of churches like that around. You know, just the desire, just to feel good, to feel what they determine is the presence of God. Emotion without truth produces empty frenzy and cultivates shallow people who refuse the discipline of rigorous thought. So think about that. True worship comes from people, and if we want to be true worshipers, and if we're going to worship him, because worship is a tremendous way of getting to know him and coming into his presence. True worship comes from people who are deeply emotional and who love deep and sound doctrine. Strong affections for God, rooted in truth, are the bones and marrow of biblical worship. And boy, is that true. My wife wants me to repeat that. Strong affections for God, rooted in truth, are the bones and marrow of biblical worship. And this goes to something that Steve had in one of his last messages, I think his last message that he's brought, where he talked about the heart and how important it is. All of this has to be from our hearts. You know, it can't be a mechanical thing. It can't just be a light surface kind of living and serving God. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And I think that's what seeking his face, coming into his presence, not allowing circumstances and distractions and fears and all of that continue to get in our way to get to know him better. And I think all of us can can use hearing something like that to provoke us into moving closer to the Lord. All right, the third one. I said there's four W's, so we've done two. The third one is waiting on the Lord. And I'm going to use a very familiar scripture, Isaiah 40, verse 31. It says this, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So here's this. We can have that scripture in our mind, but if we're not practicing that, if we're not coming before God and praying before God and really developing, because we want to know Him better, a deeper waiting and prayer relationship, I'm not going to get any place. Psalm 27. I'm going to combine verses 4 and 8 and 13 and 14. And it says this. I hope this is, I've wanted this to be, I've always loved this scripture. I've always wanted this to be something that was true about me. Not just up in my mind, but really in deep in my heart. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore, I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you say, seek my face." There it is, seek my face. This is God talking, talking to David. "When you say, seek my face, my heart says unto you, thy face, O Lord, will I seek." And I really pray that it isn't just a mind thing where I want to have that kind of response. I want that to be really deep within my heart, just like David's, when God says, "Seek my face." And I think he is saying this to us in this message, to seek his face, seek his presence, to know him more, to know him and to serve him in ways that we don't even understand yet. Psalm 105, verse 4 says, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forever." That seems to be pretty pretty strong. And then the last thing. I that was all put together. I jumped verses 4 to 8, and then I went to 13 and 14. I didn't? Oh, well, I guess I'm not doing 13 and 14. Maybe I scratched it out. I don't know. All right. So the fourth W is walking with. I'm using those two words so I can just keep everything with W's. And this is really talking about fellowship. The importance of fellowship in getting to have a relationship with God, because you and I know that God speaks through his people, speaks to us through one another, and how important that is. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 says this, "Then they that feared the Lord spoke often to one another, and the Lord heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." That's not just a surface kind of thing. That's lots of contemplation, lots of interaction with God through waiting on him and worshiping him and getting into his word to really know the character and the personhood of God himself on that one-on-one face-to-face relationship between us and the Lord Jesus. In the New Testament, Ephesians, I think it's chapter 4, it says that we're to grow up in all things into him as every joint supplies. Well, a joint is where two bones come together. This is where people come together. And when people come together, and this is why fellowship is so important in the Christian life, because when we get together, iron sharpens iron. It's important for us to have that interchange, and especially a face-to-face kind of interchange. So to me, this is really important, especially for where we are now. So the last thing I'm going two scriptures, and I'll be done. Results of seeking his face. I pulled out two things that I thought would be apropos to read at this point. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says this, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Yeah. You know, one of the great things about getting to know Jesus more, having more of a seeking his face, is that we change. We change into his image. As we seek him, we become more like him. I think that's great. And it's from image to image, from glory to glory. It's not just all of a sudden we're going to be just like Jesus. There's that process. We build into this over the course of time. So I thought that was really great. You know, I wrote this down. Looking into the Lord's eyes changes us, and it allows us to see others through the Lord's eyes. Isn't that something? The more we see Jesus and understand Jesus, the more we get transformed into his image. And so as we relate to one another, we're going to be able to see people in a deeper, more loving, understanding kind of way, the way the Lord sees us too. Looking into his eyes allows us to look into one another's eyes and have the right kind of response to one another. I thought that was great. And then the second thing is one that we come back to a lot. When we seek his face, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face." If we're just seeking him for other things, but if we're seeking him to come into his presence, to really know him more, and that's a motivation of our heart, right? "And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." So what a great result of seeking his face. Our nation is going to be healed. It isn't going to be just on a casual relationship with Christ. He's looking for a people that want to worship him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for people that want to sit at his feet and be his disciples through the word. He's looking for people to persevere in prayer and to wait upon him and to continue to seek him through all the different trials of life. And he wants us to pursue understanding him by having that connection with one another, that fellowship with one another. Really, really important. Our nation will be healed. I believe that it can be, don't you? So Lord, I just pray that this isn't just a word for today, but Lord, that we'd be a people that would persevere to know you and to seek you, seek your face, seek you in the things that we need, looking for you to help us where we need. But Lord, also that we would be people that seek your face, just to come into your presence, just to learn more of you, not to just learn about you, but Lord, to know you in an intimate way. We love you, Lord. We give our hearts to you today, fully. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.